Today's program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn, new American cuisine in one of Washington, D.C.'s oldest hotels, located in DuPont Circle. For more information, visit TabardInn.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Everyone, I'm your host Patrick Martins. We are broadcasting live out of Roberta's restaurant at 261 Moore Street. And appropriately enough, I open with that all the time. We have the founder of Roberta's who is in studio with us to talk about the publication of the Roberta's cookbook published by Clarkson and Potter. So, Chris Paracchini, thanks so much for coming in today.
Pleasure. What's up, man?
So, this book, I saw it. It is beautiful. It's filled with pictures and art, and it's just fun to read. What were you hoping to accomplish when you said yes to this book deal with Clarkson and Potter?
I think we knew right out of the gate that we weren't going to be able to recreate, you know, the experience of being here entirely. So I think. And I think we knew early on that, like, certainly a whole lot of text and, like, you know, exposition on what it was not going to do it. So I think that we just tried to use a lot of, you know, visual aids to kind of get people in the spirit of what the place is. And we tried to maybe not tackle too much, because there was maybe too much to tackle for a book or one book. So the challenge the whole time was sort of in keeping it pared down and just sort of using photos and you know, some of the art that's been generated here to support the recipes, to just give you like an overall feeling of like, oh yeah, cool, this sort of harkens back to that time I was there, or you know.
What percentage of the recipes that have been at Roberta since you guys opened were reflected in the book? Like 10%? I mean, was you constantly paring down to make one book out of it?
Yeah. I don't even know. I mean, sure, 10% sounds like that could be in the ballpark. We tried to get a, you know, represent the full range of the restaurant's history in terms of the recipes. I think initially when we started working on the book, we were going to do a kind of linear thing, or like the story in three acts or something like that, where, you know, the beginning, the middle, the end. And I think that the early recipe list kind of played to that. We were really a lot more rigid about what recipes from what time period. And then as we got into the making of the book, it started to become obvious that like it was a little bit foolish to do it that way, and a little bit like it was just sort of underserving what the recipes were supposed to be in for the book. So in the end, it just sort of became like types of foods and best of in those categories. But there's still some of the recipes in there are from, you know, from the pre you know, gas preheat days.
Carrying Heritage Foods Boston Butts in the L train from Carlo's house.
Yeah, those days.
Back in the early days.
Yeah.
Now, I heard a lot of your voice in the writing. I mean, there were some prose where you would, you know, talk about the restaurant and the people or a certain era of it or the motorcycle rally race you guys did. Was that your voice?
Yes and no. It was Catherine Wheelock did the writing. Okay. And that was based on a lot of sitting down and talking to us and sort of distilling, us just sort of ranting about, you know, storytelling and ranting about what it was like. We're all in there, but you know, maybe that was the part that I sort of spent more time on.
Is there a future in publications for the Roberta's Crew? I mean, do you now, did that tap a desire for you to see more books come out? Photography books, poetry books. So we're going to talk about art is my next question for you. But are you? Do you like publishing? Or do you want to do more books?
I like making things. The publishing aspect, I think that we're still fairly inexperienced after one book. But yeah, there's definitely more stuff coming. I mean, to be frank, it was a difficult book to make. It was also a book that we were trying to make while a lot of other things were going on, but you know, in our lives professionally and excuse me, personally. But I think that we're all really pleased with the result, and that every time you do something like this, it's generally hard. And you know, at the end of the day, we kind of live for that stuff. So there's definitely more on the way. We're actually, we're launching, or have launched, a little like photo book, photo zine, with Dave Potes and Ryan Rice. Ryan Rice art directed the book, and Dave Potes was one of the principal photographers. And they took a lot of amazing photographs that never made it into the final cut. Some of them we think, or I think, are, you know, better than some of the photos that made it in the book. So, issue one will be released today at the book release party, and then we're gonna do more. And it's a kind of loose arrangement. There's no, I don't know when issue two is coming out, and I don't think that those guys even know exactly what issue two is gonna be yet.
Well, that's how everything starts, right?
Yeah, you just start doing it, right?
Yeah. We never knew what would become of this container. Yeah. So art, I know, I noticed a lot of art pages in the cookbook from a book that you used to keep out by the pizza station, and customers could just contribute. And you talk a lot about art, and maybe you could just speak to our listeners a little bit about how Roberta's itself is art, and art was such a big part of the cookbook, photography as well as drawings.
Yeah. Well, it's... Sure. I mean, you know, the restaurant's kind of born from a neighborhood of mostly struggling artists. And obviously a lot of creative folks are still in the neighborhood. And I just feel like it's just been a huge part of the identity of the restaurant and of us personally. And, I think we knew early on when we put that book out and we started to see like the, how good or interesting or both, so many of those drawings were. I think we always knew that if we ever did a book, we were going to use some of that stuff in there.
My pig one didn't make it in.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was a little upset about that.
That one's earmarked for book three, actually. yeah. I mean, art. Art's such a like,
it's everywhere and nowhere.
Yeah, right?
But this place is an active living art form. I mean, the number of zones they are. There's the back, there's the front, there's the containers, there's the garden, the people. And then, like I say, that art book and the book itself. I mean, this cookbook has more photographs of non-food than maybe any cookbook ever, because it is. It's a whole movement.
That's after we got edited down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it was, yeah, it's... I mean, you know, there is obviously art in everything if you choose to or can see it. And I think that this restaurant was definitely a little bit of an art project, or a lot of bit of an art project when it started. And, you know, through its success sort of had to become a real business. And a lot of that is addressed in the book. But, you know... There's no taking that out of this, or anything else for that matter. And here, I think, you know, we're very fortunate to have this great community of people, and they come here and they have a relatively, you know, sort of free environment to express themselves, and we get to sort of live with a lot of that.
And expression. Collaborate on their own, too. I mean, this is a big hub of a lot of different groups.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, very interesting. And has it changed? I mean, maybe just these are big concepts that I'm asking you about, art and change. But I mean, the neighborhood's changed. Roberta's changed since it first started. I mean, are there any connections between how Roberta's changed over the years and the neighborhood, maybe, or the people? Yeah.
Yeah, they're part and parcel, right? The you know, I mean, the neighborhood has exploded, and
really has
all kinds of other people live here besides the, you know, handful of artists and factory workers that lived here before. I mean, I think there's bakers living here now, which is crazy. But yeah, I mean, you know, everything. Right, everything has to live in the world, which means that everything is changing constantly.
Does it lose anything, or do you lament the old days in any way?
Sure, definitely. Yeah. It loses stuff while it picks up new stuff, and, you know, it's, yeah, it's a living thing. You know, like, here's, you know, your son Max is sitting near us, and my daughter Georgia is going to be 4 in April, and, you know, I miss things about, you know, when she was 1.5, that are gone forever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's new stuff being added every day.
Well, Max is a product of Roberta's. This is where I met my wife, Ann Saxelby, here. And then a few years later, we produced this little guy who's producing sound effects in the back.
We want 10%.
10%, that's fair. You have to work 10% of your time at Roberta's for free. Well, very, very interesting. And now you have a book party. And tell us about book tours and this and that. Are you traveling around and doing different cities?
Carlo's going to do a leg on the West Coast. And I think that's all we're going to do for traveling. Brandon and I are busy doing other stuff here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and as you know, I'm still working on my house in Rockaway.
Yeah, well, it was a long project. I mean, a lot happened to that house.
Yeah.
Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully done by Christmas. And I think, well, we'll see. I mean, let's see how it does. And mm-hmm. maybe there'll be another book tour in addition to the one Carl is going to do in California. Incidentally, he's going to be in L.A., San Francisco, and Portland.
Oh, wow.
I think starting this week.
Oh, very good, very good. Well, Carlo is a great representative. I mean, how do you define his cuisine? I mean, how do you define the cuisine in the book? Because it comes from a pizza kitchen as well as a restaurant kitchen. So why would people buy the book? To understand Roberta's or to understand, like, Italian cuisine? Or what is it? How do you define the food in that?
Definitely American. You can certainly see and feel the link to Italian cooking. I think that, you know, there are also a lot of Asian reference points in his cooking, but I think that his cooking is totally American, and I think is also, you know, he's certainly done an amazing job of developing his own cuisine, but I think that it also sort of comes from, in a lot of ways, that place, you know, pizza, mm-hmm. from cooking in, you know, a hearth-fired oven with real fire, mm-hmm. and, like, sweating, and, you know, just kind of, like, raw and concentrated, I think, mm-hmm. is how I would describe his cooking.
Nice, raw and concentrated. Yeah. Because he's a big, that's interesting, he's a big fish guy. He always dreamed of fish, he told me, you know, he loved raw fish and the whole Japanese culture, which is my last question for you. Yeah. Well, very cool. I like having you on as a guest because I could just throw out general words like art or change.
I can give you general words back.
Yes. No, it's nice. Sometimes you got to be super specific. Well, you were just back from Japan. We went on a business trip with Carlo, and I just wanted to ask you about your impressions of Japan, in particular the food, but also anything that struck you, because that was your first time, right, to Tokyo?
Yes.
So you just got back 2 days ago, and yeah, what were your thoughts?
God, what an amazing country. What amazing people. I was only there for 3 days, which is far too short a trip.
Wow, from New York, just 3 days?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you know, it was a 5-day trip, day going, day coming. But I was completely blown away by the whole thing, and food specifically. as most of your listeners probably know, if you go and you want to just go for the food, that's more than enough reason to go. The mm-hmm. food was completely next level mm-hmm. In so many different places and so many different kinds of places.
Wow. How? Ingredient-wise? Ingredients, or with the chefs?
The ingredients are impeccable, and I think that there's a level of craft or craftsmanship mm-hmm. in almost all that the Japanese do that is like, I don't know, almost, I mean, it's almost superhuman and completely inspiring. And you see it in really everything they do, in the buildings that are there, and in the food, and just in everything. So
everything is considered thoughtful.
Yes,
it's not just made. So there's no ugly parts of town, like, or well, do they have projects there and stuff like that?
I didn't see anything that I would recognize as projects. You know, ugly is such a subjective thing that I didn't find anything that I saw ugly. I mean, there were definitely some like lower rent neighborhoods, although mm-hmm. I think, you know,
those are the
best idea
ones.
Of like somebody like the poverty line in Japan is like, you know, you'd kind of be a baller here in the States if you were poor in Japan. I mean, the cost of living is extremely high, and I think that it was harder to tell if we were like in a bad neighborhood or whatever, mm-hmm. because like that same level of craft I think is applied to like sweeping mm-hmm. and mopping, and everything is just clean. I mean, you could literally eat a meal off of any street or sidewalk that we went to, and we covered a lot of ground while we were there. I mean, literally, like, you could have just put my eggs on the sidewalk and I would have totally sucked them up with a straw.
Did Max eating off the floor remind you of that?
It actually did.
Well, that is awesome. So, well, it's very interesting to have you on. Obviously, I've known you. I want to thank you guys for putting a page in about the radio. That was really nice to see.
Yeah, wouldn't dream of not including it.
Yeah, so, well, very interesting. We also interviewed Brandon Hoy, which is an interview about to come up. But, you know, Chris is a real, you know, inspiration, and everyone at the radio really looks up to him and the Robertas, and it's nice to see a book in print. It's a very fun book. It's filled with pictures, filled with stories, filled with recipes, and it costs $40 is the listed price, but it's available for much cheaper on Amazon if you pre-buy it. So mm-hmm. definitely log on, get the book early, and try all your favorite dishes that you've had at Roberta's at home, minus the ambiance of Roberta's, but still, it's something. So thanks so much, Chris. Really appreciate you taking some of your Sunday out to be with us.
Thanks, man.
You are listening to Leaving by Dead Stars on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Have we lost all control? Well, I don't know what I should do. Wake me up when you know. The following program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn. Tabard Inn, Washington, D.C.'s quintessential small hotel, is located on a quiet, tree-lined street just 5 blocks from the White House. Vibrant yet unassuming, the Tabard is comprised of 40 sleeping rooms, each unique in character and design. Feast on eclectic American cuisine in their acclaimed restaurant, or enjoy a cocktail and listen to live jazz in one of their cozy Victorian seating areas. Mingle with travelers from around the world who find the Tabard the only place to stay when taking their travels to Washington. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
So we're really excited to have Brandon Hoy in studio. He just published the Roberta's Cookbook along with some of his partners at Roberta's, published by Clarkson and Potter. And it's a great book. So Brandon, when you made this book, how did you try to make it different than all the other cookbooks that were out there?
I didn't bind it with glue. I used hand stitched in Cambodia. I think we try to tell a story using a lot of imagery. So it's a lot of photos, and it's like a very collaborative book. So there's photography in there by I don't even know how many people, you know, that you see, you're looking at the credits now.
No, it's like a whole page of credits
just on photography and art alone.
How did you go about collecting all these? Are these things that people have given you over the years, or did you ask them to comb their archives for cool little pictures?
Yeah, you know, I collected a lot of stuff, and I saved a lot of stuff from over the past, and I think Chris and Carlo did as well, and we kind of all reached into our, you know, our own personal vaults and, like, pulled everything, and then we knew some people that had stuff that was like lingering out there that we knew that we didn't have. And we kind of contacted some people and got some other stuff as well.
And, how did you go about selecting? I mean, you must've started with like 10 times as many photos and also probably 10 times as many recipes, and you had to edit it down to the very best ones.
That's correct. I mean, we looked at thousands and thousands and thousands of photos. I mean, you know, naturally, like, you know, there's like photos that stick around for a long time. And those ones you kind of like, you know, we called them our five-star, like, reds. So it was, like, really just – they were the ones that we knew we liked already even before we got a book deal. Mm-hmm. And we had those kind of floating around. There are pictures that, you know, Chris and Carlo and I liked from the beginning, just things that we had always really enjoyed seeing.
And how do you divide the book up? I mean, I see it here. There's, like, pictures, then there's stories – and then there's like history stuff, but basically you have a pizza section, a meat section, how did you go about getting the Pizza Kitchen to give their recipes and the Kitchen to give theirs?
All our recipes.
Right.
So I didn't, it wasn't like I had to like kick somebody's door down and wave in the 4-4 and be like, I need all the recipes now, homie. You know, there are recipes. It wasn't hard to get them. I mean, you know, we wrote the book, Chris, like, You know, Chris sat down and like really thoroughly like went through and like, you know, described how we make pizza and the dough recipe. And, mm-hmm. you know, Carlo sat down and really like hammered out all of the like, you know, back kitchen recipes. And
so let's say someone comes up with a new pizza, like there's the little stinker. It just happens to be a new one that I thought was delicious. Do they then go and tell you and submit the recipe and you keep an archive of it, or is it more informal? You know, how does new pizzas come into the mix, for instance?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely keep an archive of all pizzas that we make. I mean, mm-hmm. one, we record every menu. So we have every single menu every single day. Wow. We have those all backed up, you know, and we went back and we looked through a lot of these things. So, yeah, like every recipe is there and it's ready to go at any time.
My two favorite pictures in the book were seeing the Roberta's, just the shell, yeah. of the space before anything was there. I mean, it looked like a bomb had gone off in it early. And then this overhead shot, you know, just to see kind of where it's located. I mean, did you have any idea back in these early days when you guys were just, was it always your goal to expand within the neighborhood into the garage, or did you guys come into it more innocently? Just
yeah, I mean, I think we were pretty excited about what we got, which was very little in the very beginning. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And then as you know, as the restaurant became more popular and more people were coming through, we were obviously like excited about growth. So you know, we kind of just like took advantage of that, and there was a lot of space there in the neighborhood, so as it came available, we took it.
No, it's amazing. And I'm just looking through, I recognize a lot of these pictures from a big book that you had at the front yeah. pizza station, and people could draw whatever they wanted.
Right. The art book. Yeah, so, you know, the first, like, we probably had that art book up there for the first 3 years. And it was like a large sketchbook, and we kept it at the front of Roberta's, and people, you know, signed it or drew pictures in it. There was a lot of dick jokes, as there usually are if you just let people free on a blank piece of paper. often at some point a dick joke will pop up. The funny thing is once a dick joke pops up, then the like repetitiveness of dick jokes is like it's crazy how fast it catches fire. Next thing you know, there's like 25 dick jokes in the book. But that was cool. Yeah, we pulled a lot of art out of that. It's a fun book. Still we like pull that book out every once in a while and find some fun stuff.
were there any pictures that you just could not find that you're like, I can't believe no one took a picture of that person or that event?
I mean, yeah, there's obviously some things that were like memories that were stuck memories that we never really got photos of. But I think for the most part, there was, you know, we really captured like the life of the restaurant from like from when it started to now. Mm-hmm. There was definitely pictures that we liked that didn't make it into the book that we actually had that we thought were excellent photos that we just didn't get into the book. I mean, as there was stories and everything, it's like, you know, when you're making a book, it's like, you really want all the, you want all the great things to be in it. And sometimes there's just not enough room, you know? So.
Yeah, for sure. And, this is the biggest, craziest event, and it's so funny to see this in a cookbook, but was the motocross event that you guys organized.
Just the Death Killers of Bushwick, you know, which is a clothing company. They're, you know, good friends of ours, and they did their, you know, it was a, I think it was Fashion Week. It was Halloween, actually. It was a Halloween party, and it was also Fashion Week. So they did their, like, we did, like, a combined Halloween party and their, like, fashion show, the Death Killers and Inner City Raiders fashion show as a miniature motorcycle track. So we built a dirt bike track, and we had, like, little 25, 50cc motorcycles, and we raced. We had, like, a little, you know, track that we raced on. It was crazy, and we had bands play, Ninja Sonic, Anamanamana Nuchu. I can't actually say the name of that band, but Anamanaguchi. There we go.
Thanks, Jack. That's awesome. Bane's Fried Chicken, I mean, that was a historic thing that started. I mean, what's your favorite food? I mean, is there a food that you...
Pizza?
That's what you eat most of the time?
Come on.
You don't eat glass shrimp or anything from the...
Glass shrimp. I like food from the kitchen as well, but you know, like,
pizza's the everyday
food. Pizza, man, it's for the heart.
Well, congratulations. This is a really great book, and it's awesome that you were able to stay true to Roberta's within a cookbook. Was that challenging with the publisher, or did they just give you carte blanche to do your thing?
I mean, come on. Nobody's when you're working with somebody that's trying to sell something, nobody really ever gives you carte blanche. But right. I'll tell you this. That book would be way different if we just did it. Like, I think the book's great. I think we accomplished what we wanted, which is like a brief summarization of like the history up to now of Roberta's, and there's not a lot of stories in that. It's not like it's like a 25-year-old restaurant. So so for the short time that we've been here, I think we got a lot of, like, you know, a lot of the story in there, and kind of like, you know, the vibe of the early days. And how did you feel about the heritage food section?
Yes, I very much liked it.
I would say there was really not a heritage food section. There was a heritage radio section.
And there was a mention of heritage foods by your double-cut country rib chop.
Oh, correct.
Which was... That's good. It was on the menu.
And look at the giant Surrey Farms. Yeah.
Remember? Sam is so psyched. Edwards. His sponsorship amount is doubling.
Everyone
next
loves
year,
Sam Edwards. Come on.
No, it Sam was really nice. Thanks for... thanks for calling me your friend, and thanks for putting us in here.
Well, we had to lie every once in a while. You know, like, first of all, I didn't say anything about being your friend.
No, I know. I understand. You know? Of course, it was probably a typo that
just stated. Your Brooklyn Nets season ticket partner, yes, that is true. We do that, but
Jack,
friends,
you gotta pick a
come
game.
On, bro.
Portland. Yeah, you got to go. Portland or one
go
of them.
Go Nets.
Anyway, well, listen, Brandon, it's always a pleasure to have you on the station. It's an honor.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your... I hope this gets you back into sports dudes now.
Sports dudes, it's coming back. I got it, dude. I have a whole bunch of new guests ready to go. Sports dudes on Heritage Radio Network.
They don't even need to worry about when they do it. They just get together. They can come in and do an episode.
No, because sports dudes, you kind of have to stay. You have to do it every week, and you have to, like, you can't pre-record, because then you're just talking about things that had already happened. And the great thing about a sports show is you have to stay current. That was the reason why we actually stopped doing it, was because it was like 8 hours besides the actual show of, like, research and work that Greg and I I had to do. And like, and to be honest with you, like in a span of a week, 8 hours is a lot of work when you already work 60 hours a week. So it was like kind of hard for us to like pull all the like research together. I mean, we had some legit guests, some ESPN. And
yeah, that guy called him from Memphis or something, right?
Down ESPN south. Radio of Memphis. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're coming back.
We need a sports dude. I'm happy to, help run that thing. I talk a lot about sports. And, in fact, I think I might be winning a certain Roberta's football league. Or I might be tied with you in first.
You might be tied for first with me.
Yeah, that's good.
I
like being 98%.
I'm actually going to get to meet some New York sports guys today, Akeem Nix and CeCe Sabathian. I play in a Nike flag football league, the NFS, and they've been like awesome enough to like put together this like Jordan Week event where, you know,
that's not the last guy. You met Kevin Durant there too,
Kevin
right?
Kevin Durant, yeah, he played football.
He's a good receiver.
I think we're having another big name coming this Sunday, maybe a Miami Heat, maybe a big name Miami Heat. Wow. I don't know. Greg Geo's coming through.
I hope that guy does good.
Yeah, everyone hopes Odin does good.
Well, listen, this is a legitimate book. I'm going to drop it here. People can hear.
That's about 9.5 ounces. October 29th. So buy, pre-order it. Pre-order it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or you could go to the Roberta's Pizza website, and it should be right there on the front page. I think you can order it right there.
Or you can buy it at Roberta's, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
But if you want to get it before it comes out, which is 5 days, you can order it right now.
It's very good. Eat like Roberta's at home. Like Roberta's at home. So thank you so much for being on, and stay tuned for more Heritage Radio.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.